shotglassdigital.com.
Welcome to another episode of Bad Wolf Radio, a discussion and review podcast all about Doctor Who. I am one of your hosts, Aaron Goins, and I'm here with the man who flew the TARDIS to the wrong month, so we totally missed April's episode, Adam Farmer.
Okay, I totally wasn't expecting that one. That was a good one. Totally caught me off guard.
And it's totally not true.
Happy.
Totally not true. Yeah, we have taken some time off. It really wasn't Adam's fault. I was the one that put in the wrong coordinates on the TARDIS. So we literally missed a month.
The TARDIS has a mind of its own. We ended up going exactly where we ought to be, right?
Yeah, the TARDIS knew that we should be here. So if you were wondering, we actually had an email that somebody was wondering if we had canceled the show because it had been so long since we've been on the air. So we are back. We have not canceled it. We just had a busy month. We missed doing an episode in April, but we are definitely back. We are going to be talking about a lot of news today. We're going to be talking about a classic episode as well. So before we get into that stuff, though, I think we should just start it off with a couple messages that we've gotten since the last time we recorded. What do you think about that, Adam?
Let's do it. I have to say, the email that we received during our month hiatus, it was really encouraging to get that email. Just to know that someone was thinking of us, wondering if we canceled the show, it was a really awesome email.
Yes, it was. But before we get to that awesome email, we have a message that we got on Facebook. And this is from Joshua. And I wanted to read this one too, because I mean for real, let's admit it, we don't get that many messages, so we might as well read whatever ones we get, right? So
that is the truth.
This one's from Joshua Sosa, and he says, "Hello guys, I am a new listener to the podcast via iTunes, and I think it is really fun and personal. I found you guys while listening to Rebel Force Radio and seeing the link from Shot Glass Digital. See, moving to Shot Glass Digital was a good move, Adam.
Yeah,
we got at least one more listener out of it.
I'll take it. I'll take whatever I can get right now."
And he goes on to say, "Now I am just writing because I had to interrupt listening to episode 33 because of this 5 minutes of pink segment. With the series and community as Doctor Who, everyone has their own preferences and favorites, but this might be the first time I've heard of someone liking Danny Pink. For myself, I could have lived without him. He seemed to be a mix of the worst parts of Mickey and Rory. I respected his morality, but his attitude, constant PTSD, and simple disrespect towards the Doctor was completely uncalled for. I don't mean to be a stick in the mud, and I respect your liking of Danny, but I assume that in this community we can say who we like and dislike with no harm done, just understanding why someone feels how they do. Keep up the podcast. It is really a joy to listen to. Joshua." So Joshua, in I would think in any Doctor Who community, you can say whatever you want about whatever characters. I know, like, when it comes to, you know, most of the characters across Doctor Who, you have some people that love them, some people that hate them. So the fact that you don't like Danny Pink, I totally get that. Actually, I myself have been pretty critical of Danny and wouldn't say that I definitely loved him as a character. You, Adam, have been a little bit more of a Danny fanboy.
I think I even remember you going as far at one point in time to say something very similar as far as Danny being just the worst parts of Mickey and Rory. I think I remember us getting very close to saying that. But yeah,
I know he has compared. Yeah, we definitely have compared him to both of them. And whereas Mickey and Rory seem to kind of have the character growth, I never really saw it in Danny. But yeah,
I have a soft spot in my heart for Danny Pink. I don't know if I could say I respect. That might be too hard or too strong of a word. But there was something about seeing him on his couch left by himself. My heart broke for him. I mean, we talked about it quite a bit. He was a genuinely nice guy when it came to Clara, and she just played him bad the entire time, just played him bad until the very last episode where it's like, oh, this is going to be great, and then he goes and dies on us.
Yep.
It's by a car.
But I'm pretty sure, Josh, you probably didn't think that by sending us an email about Danny Pink, you would become our 5 minutes of Danny Pink. So
I feel like we need a sound effect played right there. But yes, you provided us with not 5 minutes of Danny Pink, but you gave us some information to go on Danny Pink after reading an article that essentially said he's gone, he's dead, no one needs to talk about him anymore. You gave us a reason to talk about Danny Pink.
Yep. And that was officially our 5 minutes of Danny Pink.
Thank you, Joshua.
So, on to the email that you were referring to. This is an email that we got from Melissa Bolts. And she says, "Hi, guys. Just wanted to send a shout-out from a listener here in Seattle and comment on the show. I recently started a commute of around 3 hours in traffic daily and was stoked when I found all your podcasts. Listened from the very first one all the way to the Monoids in about 2 months.
And that's awesome.
And even watched a few classics along with the reviews. Didn't make it past the one with the giant bugs that trapped the TARDIS in the web.
Understandable.
Yeah. I went to add you on Facebook and couldn't find you, so I hope the posts are just really spaced out and you haven't canceled the show. I was really enjoying the nerdy company." So we can reply to that first part. No, Melissa, the show is not canceled. Hopefully you're still listening. Hopefully we popped up in your feed and you found this episode on one of your 3 hour commutes. My goodness, 3 hour commute?
That's incredible. I'm glad that we can be nerdy company on that 3 hour commute.
I just feel like, to you, Melissa. I feel like this new, you know, responsibility that we need to create more content for her, because it only took her 2 months to catch up on all of our episodes.
That's a great point.
I'm pretty sure we're only going to be able to fill up part of her commutes now.
Yeah, we are a little bit behind, especially with missing April.
Yeah. So we are still doing episodes, Melissa, but we appreciate the fact that you missed us. But Melissa does go on to say here, she has a couple points. She says, "Before I end, I do have two things to say. One, from the beginning, it's been killing me. You two didn't think Susan had ever been brought up. In Rings of Akatan, Matt," I like how she refers to the 11th Doctor as Matt. Yes. "Matt tells Clara he hasn't been there in a long time. Last time was with his granddaughter. This is when she realizes she knows nothing about him." So, yes. I do actually remember that reference. And I remember when he said his granddaughter thinking of Susan. So, I don't think we gave that reference its due credit when we were talking about Susan before and saying that she never really gets brought up in the modern series. But I guess, yeah, that was kind of a little nod to her.
Nice pull.
Do you remember that? Adam, did you remember that
vaguely,
reference?
Vaguely. Okay. Vaguely.
And then she says, "Number two, if the TARDIS translates for you when you land on an alien planet or foreign country, does it stop translating if it leaves? Or is it always a part of your mind and can find you?"
And I love this question.
Yeah.
I absolutely love this question.
"Vicky left in ancient Greece. I doubt she spoke Greek, so that would be an interesting problem." And then she goes on to say, "Hope the show continues now that there's rumors for the next season. In parentheses, I heard Osgood is back somehow. Big fan, spoilers. Melissa." Spoilers, yes, but we will be talking about that in a few minutes. But yeah, that's a good point about the TARDIS translating. You know, is Vicky kind of, once the TARDIS left, is she left, you know, in Greece and not being able to speak Greek? I don't know. What's your opinion on this, Adam?
I don't know. It would seem like the TARDIS kind of leaves a little bit of itself behind for every companion that steps off the TARDIS. I never thought of it before. It's a really great question. I'm really concerned for Vicky now, whether or not she knew what she was getting herself into. I would say that it has to allow you to continue to understand. I don't know if that's covered anywhere, though. I would think that it would work. I'm just not sure. Because that would be really strange for, like, Donna and... Well, not Donna, because she doesn't really remember anything. But Rose and... oh goodness.
Are you blanking on
Martha?
Okay.
Martha. And Martha. I forgot Martha. Yeah, it really strange for Rose and Martha to now be able to travel anywhere and understand everything, no matter where they are. Yeah, I don't know. What do you think?
So this is something I've always had an issue with when it comes to sci-fi. Not an issue, but it's something that doesn't make sense. I know that Star Trek had a similar problem when, you know, they constantly are going to planets that, you know, are undiscovered countries, you know, or places that no man has gone before. So how would they be able to speak the language? They tend to be able to always be able to communicate with the natives. And the explanation, I think, in Star Trek, at least, is there's some sort of a communicator thing that's they wear at all times that translates for them. So I've always kind of given these type of shows a pass when it comes to that, because, I mean, really, do we really want to see subtitles, or do we want to have to see them, you know, learning a new language, or, you know, every time they land somewhere? So it just kind of is a gimme, you know. It's like, well, let's just give them a pass on this. Anywhere they go, they can speak the language. But I actually had never, I didn't realize that the TARDIS was doing that, that it was kind of allowing the passengers of the TARDIS to actually speak the language. But I think that was covered in, now that I'm remembering, that was in the Christmas Invasion episode. Do you remember that? They kind of show that process as the Doctor doesn't, or that they don't really understand each other right at first, but then it kind of slowly catches up.
Yeah, it definitely was covered with Tennant. I thought it might have been covered with Eccleston and Rose as well, but yeah, I do remember the Christmas Invasion that happening.
Yeah, I had forgotten that until I read this email again and reminded me of that, that the TARDIS was doing that. But if we're going to stay, like, let's just stay in-universe, and I'm going to say yes. I think what her explanation where the TARDIS, even though the TARDIS leaves, it kind of leaves an imprint on her mind and still allows her to speak the language, so I'm thinking that's the case.
Well, maybe we can restrict it even more and say that it's only the last language that the TARDIS allowed you to speak that you still understand.
I kind of like the idea that, like, Rose can speak, you know, every alien language that she ever, you know, encountered. I think that's kind of cool.
Okay.
It makes Rose even that much more special.
She is Bad Wolf, you know.
She is Bad Wolf. So, speaking of Rose, Rose actually recently made an appearance at Philadelphia Comic-Con with the 10th Doctor. David Tennant and Billy Piper were both there. I think it's the first time that those two have appeared together in an American convention.
That's correct.
Which, for whatever reason, Philly Comic-Con seems to get a lot of those first times. I remember they were the first one that got all the captains from Star Trek to show up together. So I don't know why, because Philly doesn't seem like it's that important of a city. But
it's growing.
Yeah.
It's definitely growing.
So I remember when we were talking about this convention coming up, and I was telling the listeners, I'm definitely going to go. I'm going to attend that panel. I'm going to try to get a recording of that panel, and I will report back. Well, I'm here to report that I failed you all. But not for lack of trying. They actually closed the panel off and did not allow you to go into this panel unless you bought a VIP pass to Wizard World Philadelphia. Specifically a VIP pass to see David Tennant and Billy Piper. And just to give you guys an idea of why I didn't do it, the cheapest VIP pass I could have purchased was $400.
Ooh.
So yeah, I wasn't too happy about that. And they didn't announce this until like a week before the convention. So I was all, you know, ready to go, and then all of a sudden they close the panel off and say it's only for VIPs. So yeah, I missed the entire thing.
They did have the streaming that you posted on the Facebook page. They did open it up, which again is one of the, so there is the website, the app ConTV, that has all sorts of random movies, videos, but also convention videos listed on there. And this was the first live streaming convention event that they were able to do, that they were allowed to do. So there was also the opportunity to do it that way. Did you by any chance get to jump in on that?
I did not. Did you?
I didn't either.
Oh. We're such bad Doctor Who fans.
I tried. I literally tried. As we were, I mean, it was Mother's Day weekend.
Yeah.
And so there were plans. But as we were driving somewhere, I had it up on my phone. And as I was trying to get it to open, it looked like it was going to work. And then for one reason or another, it was requiring all sorts of billing information, even though it was supposed to be able to be streamed live. And I was driving at the time. So these are my excuses. Please allow them to hold water. I was driving at the time, had my phone in my hand. My son was not too happy in the background. So I just gave up. I didn't force it.
Yeah, I had known that it was going to be available as a free, you know, live stream on ConTV, and so I was planning on, you know, trying to tune in at that time, but it just ended up being at a time that something happened and I just wasn't available. So, yeah, I missed the whole panel. I was very disappointed. I wanted to be there live, and if they hadn't have restricted it to just the VIP people, I would have attended. But yeah, unfortunately, I wasn't able to see either of them, which I was really excited about.
I'm holding out hope though, because what they did is they streamed it live at 10:30 to 11:15 Eastern time, and then they ended up replaying it on YouTube at 4:30.
Oh, really?
But they don't have the permission from everybody that they needed to be able to do more with it just yet. But some things that I read said that they are definitely looking to see if they can find another way to get it out there for fans. So I'm reading, I'm watching to see if we can get some access to that, because that would be really great. I mean, they packed out the place that they were at. They live streamed it, and then they ended up showing a recording of it later in the day. So it must have been definitely worth seeing.
What did I learn from you, Billy Piper?
So much. Life skills.
And I still am.
Yes.
Every day. Oh, I don't know. I think, what did I learn from everyone?
What do you mean, on a personal level?
On a personal level, or professional level, or as a character?
Well, she didn't write that down. So.
And she wants to be specific.
Professional.
Nothing. Nothing from me.
No, what I definitely learned from Billy coming into the madhouse that is Doctor Who is sort of a bit of how to cope with it. Because you've done it for a year.
Yeah, exactly. You knew I was really well equipped. I was really well equipped by the time you got there.
Just a sense of being able to cope with the madness that descended.
Yeah.
I mean, it can't get madder, certainly.
Yeah, but that continues to be a sort of support system, with lots of people in that show, because it is so overwhelming and enjoyable, and everyone has a small meltdown on arrival.
Yeah.
So
I think that definitely does get passed over the generations.
What else did you learn? What did you learn from Freema?
It's interesting because it was always running for me in Brazil.
Because
you've been doing it.
Oh, you were the teacher.
And I was the old guy.
Oh, yeah.
And suddenly I felt like I had to be terribly responsible. So I quite assumed that one. To go, right, now let me tell you how life has been defeated. And then very quickly, of course, she was much fancier than I was. So that didn't really work.
Catherine.
how
to have fun with it.
Yeah. I mean, Catherine just...
What is it?
Quite a bit of learning that we're just going through.
A sense of perspective.
A healthy perspective.
But I was very, very fortunate with Billy Freeman and Catherine. I had three of the finest little ladies you could wish for. So... it meant that going to work every day for all those years was a joy. And you sort of don't realise how rare that is until you go off and have experiences elsewhere. And then you yearn for things like this when you get to sit next to you. Thank you.
Yeah, and I guess one of the things that happened there that people have been talking about is they actually were kind of the two doctors. The 11th doctor was actually at a convention, I think at the same time, over in I don't even know where.
Australia. Yeah.
So he was out there, and I think he was there with River Song and Martha, right?
Yes. Yep, so, it was Martha. Yeah. Martha was there.
So he had them two there, and then the 10th Doctor, David Tennant, was with Billy Piper in Philly, and they actually did kind of they were competing to see who had the most fans, I guess. So they were kind of going back and forth through like a video call, and I think a lot of that ended up getting recorded. So I had actually watched some of that, which was pretty funny. Some of that was on YouTube. So
I think we have a link to a great roundup by BBC America, what they call a fan off between Rose and Tennant and Matt Smith and Alex Kingston.
Yes.
We'll go ahead and publish that on the Facebook page. That would be a fun one to get up there.
Yeah.
Those guys, we're doing really well.
We're killing it up here in Philadelphia. Killing it.
They love us in Philly.
Yeah, yeah. I think they prefer us to you. That's very much the vibe we're getting.
Clear to us.
So, but you know, do what you can out there.
You
know,
don't treat no prisoners.
We miss you very much.
Yeah, love you.
Have fun.
See you another one. Bye bye.
Tennant, Piper. Raise your video, dude.
Our video is so much better than your video.
We're in Australia, mate. We're in the room. Yeah. Say hello to Billy and David.
Matt, Freema, Alex. So, you sent a video from your Australian convention.
Look at us, we got thousands of friends here, all cheering and whooping and showing off.
Well, I'm in Philadelphia, and behind these walls is all of Philadelphia. About 4.5 million people out here ready to tell you how popular we are. But I don't need to show you that. You just have to take it on trust.
So, yeah, unfortunately we missed it, but... Yeah, hopefully we'll replay it on Con TV or YouTube or something like that. I have been searching on YouTube to see if maybe somebody from the audience has a recording. Haven't found it yet, but would love to see that panel of the 10th Doctor and Rose.
Definitely.
So let's see, what other news do we have out there, Adam?
Oh, there is a lot of news, especially since we missed the entire month of April. Stuff basically from the time our last episode came out. To where we are today, just stuff has been churning. It's that time of the year, right? We're getting ready for the summer to hit. Things are getting recorded. People are filming. New stars are getting brought in for Doctor Who. So stuff is just showing up left and right. Probably a good time just to say spoilers. It's that time of year again where I'm just going to be spitting spoilers all over the place. So if you don't want to hear spoilers, if you don't want aspects of Series 9 ruined, go ahead, turn it off the podcast, fast forward for probably 10 minutes, and then pick us back up, and then rewind if you need to. But
so yeah. Let me reel you in a little bit, Adam.
Go for it.
Let's temper this excitement.
I'm all over the place.
So when it comes to spoilers, because I'm not even aware of some of these, so when it comes to spoilers, if it has been officially announced, then I'm cool with us spitting it out.
Cool.
If it's something that has leaked, then I would say maybe don't say it.
Okay.
And if it's just speculation, I'm fine with going there too. But if it's something that's like leaked and we know it's going to happen, but it hasn't been officially announced yet, maybe lay off that.
Okay. Everything I have right now has been officially announced.
Okay. Then we're good.
I don't think anything's been leaked.
Well, we'll say spoiler alert anyways, just in case.
It's all accessible through Wikipedia.
Oh, okay. So in case anyone's super sensitive, but I think a lot of the stuff that you're going to say is probably going to be things that we all thought might happen anyways, but
yeah,
let's get into it.
Yeah. So the first thing that showed up, some returning characters. So Kate Lethbridge-Stewart is back, which isn't surprising at all. I think we all had a feeling the way that the season finale ended that she would be back. She's going to be in two episodes. So one thing that I find surprising about Series 9 is Moffat has already said that there's going to be at least two two-parters. So it's going to be interesting to see how that pulls out. But she is going to be in at least two episodes of Series 9 for Doctor Who.
Wow. Well, I think when it comes to her, I think she's going to start to become a regular. She's going to be kind of like Captain Jack, you know, show up from time to time. She seems to be a pretty popular character with the fans. And I really like her a lot. So I think we can expect to see more of her, you know, from here on out, unless they try to kill her again.
Yeah, I kind of agree. Like, with the different nuances that they have, the different recalls back to the classic Doctor that they're trying to bring in with Capaldi, it makes sense to have Kate in there as well with her connection to the past classic episodes, and then bringing UNIT back into the picture. She is UNIT at this point, so it makes a lot of sense. Another thing that was just within the past week, 2 weeks probably, made a big splash is the announcement that Osgood is going to be back, which is pretty surprising because we all saw her turn into a pile of dust with broken glasses when Missy zapped her at the end of the season finale. But she pops back up in the episode.
Huh. Well, remember, this is a time travel show.
It is a time travel show, but there's also another aspect of this. Because along with the announcement of Osgood, there's also been quite a bit of talk that not only is she back, but the Zygons are back as well. And what do Zygons do? They shapeshift. So there's a lot of speculation whether this is the real Osgood, or towards the end of the what was that called? It was the 50th anniversary special. Yeah, towards the end of the 50th anniversary special, she is a Zygon shapeshifts to be Osgood. And so there's a lot of speculation as to whether this is just the exact same Zygon showing up or not. But the way that everybody's playing it off, all the announcements that have come out, they make it look like legitimately Osgood is back.
Well, I really liked Osgood and was sad to see her go, so this is actually kind of cool, I think, that they're bringing her back. And it's not uncommon for Doctor Who to make you believe a character is dead and have them come back, maybe even multiple times, Rory. So, you know, I think it's cool. She's a good character, so if you're going to bring someone back, I would love, you know, to see her back. I know, you know, they have said that the Mistress or Missy is coming back. And she kind of died in a similar way as Osgood. I know Osgood, you know, was disintegrated by, you know, whatever, and the Mistress was disintegrated by, like, a cyborg gun.
Cyberman
gun. So I don't know if there will be, like, a similar explanation as to how either of them lived. You know, maybe it was more a teleportation than a disintegration. But, yeah, it'll be interesting to see how they bring those characters back. But yeah. Osgood is definitely worthy.
Yeah, the one thing that I would love to get just some insight into Moffat's mind is if this is merely a reaction to the fans' outcry when Osgood died at the end of last season or last series, or if this was something he planned on from the very beginning. I as much as I loved Osgood, I was kind of disappointed to hear that she was going to be showing back up. But I'll wait to see how it plays out. It is a fun character, just her fandom for the Doctor, definitely appreciated that. So it's going to be fun to see.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see, if because I think the first time we saw Osgood, she had the scarf of the fourth Doctor, and then we saw her again and she had a bow tie, right?
Right.
So it'll be interesting to see if she, you know, when she shows up this time, if she maybe has, I don't know, what is a red lined jacket?
I have no idea, but we'll talk more about Capaldi's get up, his outfit, here in just a second.
Ooh, we get to talk Doctor Who fashion?
Yes, we are going to talk some Doctor Who fashion.
I think along with our five minutes of Danny Pink, that's becoming another segment of the show. We're slowly evolving what the segments are, and I think the other one is going to be, you know, 5 minutes of Doctor Who fashion.
It's like we're on the red carpet gushing over the Doctor as he walks down. What is he wearing this year? Anyways, back to Series 9. Another thing that has come out is a new monster, a new villain, if you will. Quite a few pictures have already come out, been published on quite a few different sources. Nothing really, nothing that has leaked. They are very official pictures. And what they look like, I don't know if you're familiar with the game BioShock, but they look very similar to the big robotic creature from BioShock. Looks pretty much ripped right out of it. But it's really interesting to see how they play out. The settings that they're in, they don't seem very... the settings aren't technologically advanced, so they look very wood, rustic, barnish. It's going to be interesting to see what these things end up being.
Interesting.
Two other things that have come out about characters for Series 9. We have Maisie Williams to guest star, who is one of the characters from, or one of the actresses from Game of Thrones. So another big name character, or big name, I guess, actress getting tossed into Doctor Who, along with someone by the name of Rufus Hound. I really have no idea who this guy is, but there's a really cool video of him, and he's just talking about how excited he is to be on Doctor Who. So I guess he's some British comedian, but it's really cool to see other actors coming on board with Doctor who not only want to be on the show, but are downright excited because they're fans themselves. I think it really adds something special to it, knowing that the fandom is much larger than those of us who watch it on a regular basis, those of us who podcast about it, those of us who listen to podcasts, but the ones that are in Doctor Who themselves really love it. So it was really cool to see those two names get tossed in the mix of it as well.
Yeah, the Game of Thrones connection, this is like, what, the third or fourth actor that they've announced that has also appeared in Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
But this Maisie Williams is actually, you know, she's one of the, you know, premier characters on Game of Thrones. She plays one of the main characters. So this is a little bit bigger of a announcement, I guess you could say. I was surprised when I saw they actually have some pictures of her. I think there's been pictures from her on set. And then there's been a picture, you know, a publicity picture of her standing on the TARDIS, you know, so that's pretty cool that she'll be on there.
Yeah. And there was a really fun quote from her in one of the articles where she talks about how she's a fan of the show, but probably compared to other people who are fans of the show, she's probably wouldn't be considered a fan of the show, but she really is a pretty big fan of the show. I just thought it was one of those things where she's excited to be on there, but she recognizes that there's going to be other people who are probably more excited about it than she is, but she's still really excited about it. Appreciate the honesty on that one. But yeah, it's really cool to have more big names show up on Doctor Who. The production value, right? It just seems like the production value continues to increase.
Definitely.
So yeah, those are some of the pretty big announcements. There's been a few things leaked as far as other titles for the episode. So we knew that there was the Witch's Familiar and the Magician's Apprentice, the name of the two first episodes that are going to be showing. The names of some of the other episodes, so there's The Girl Who Died and The Woman Who Lived, which is interesting. It always brings back to me The Girl Who Waited. Probably nothing related to that whatsoever, but a similar title format. So those are two other names of episodes that have been announced. Both of one's taking place in Viking time, the other one taking place in the 17th century. Just some tidbits that have been announced about those. But outside of that, nothing more has really come out.
Let's hope they do.
That's a lot of stuff.
Let's hope they do Vikings as well as the first Doctor series did Vikings.
Wouldn't it be amazing if they showed up and there were the same Vikings there? The
same guys, same costumes.
Yeah, exactly. Oh,
that would be amazing.
Or he finds the monk still there.
Oh, could you imagine if they brought back the monk?
That would be incredible.
That would be actually. That would be really cool to have another Time Lord show up other than the Master. Yeah. All right. Free ideas there, Steven. Free ideas.
You can take them. Because I know you're listening.
So we're going to talk about Peter Capaldi looking like a hobo, right?
Yeah.
Before we do, I just wanted to get this in real quick. I saw a trailer for a new show that's going to be coming on TV called Legends of Tomorrow. And it's like a DC Comics spinoff of the TV show Arrow, which I guess that show is like, you know, it's got spinoff after spinoff because they just had The Flash as a spinoff of that show. And now they're going to have this, Legends of Tomorrow. And I saw a promo shot for it, and I look off to the left and I see this guy in like this really cool overcoat, and I'm like, that guy looks like Rory Williams, you know, he looks like You know, I always know the character names. What's the actor? Rory Ratty Williams.
Ratty Darvill. Yeah. Arthur Darvill.
Arthur Darvill. Yeah.
Ratty Darvill is his Twitter handle. Sorry. Yeah.
I'm like, that looks like Arthur Darvill. And so they have a trailer for it. I watched the trailer, and, you know, from like the first half of the trailer, just showing like the different superheroes and stuff. But then right in the middle of the trailer, they have this, you know, almost like a cool reveal of him as a character. You know, he seems almost like the guy that's kind of running the show. Maybe the Nick Fury, you know, of this group of superheroes. So it was really cool to see him show up. But then you find out that he is actually a time traveler in this show. And he's coming back in time to make sure these heroes become, you know, who they're supposed to become in the future.
And what makes you think we could stop him?
Because one day you do. Rip Hunter, I'm from East London. Oh, and the future. I'm a member of the Time Masters, an organization charged with protecting history itself. And in the future, as unlikely as it may seem, you people become a team.
So I thought that was kind of cool to see, not only get to see Rory in another television show, because it's always cool to see him show up in another TV show, but to see him actually playing, you know, a time traveler. I was pretty excited. So I will definitely be watching this show, which means I have to go back and watch Arrow and The Flash so I know what's going on.
I'm always surprised when I see him show up, because he has, just following him on Twitter, it seems like he does a ton. Like he's in all these theater productions. He records music. He's all over the place. But yeah, it's really cool to see him showing up in another show. Do you know who else I saw randomly? I was sitting down to watch the Avengers, and the Terminator Genesis preview came on, and who should show up in it but Matt Smith?
Oh, really? I haven't seen it. I mean, I've seen like the, you know, shots of him that they, you know, they're showing for promotional material, you know, with him holding a gun, and I'm like, this just doesn't look right to see the doctor holding a gun. But yeah, I've seen those shots, but I haven't actually seen any footage. So they actually showed some footage from the movie with him in it.
I have to be honest. I didn't see him. My wife said she saw him, but I don't know. What I was surprised about, and this is the thoughts that I had after the entire trailer went by, and I almost only kind of had a glimpse of him possibly, was that when the announcement came out about Terminator Genesis, it seemed like everywhere you looked, Matt Smith's name was tied to it. Every blog was mentioning how he was going to be in there. We had those stills of him holding a gun. We had some other scenes of him showing up there. And yet here we get to the trailer, and there might have been him in the background at one point that I vaguely saw, and my wife confirmed that it was him, possibly. But it didn't seem like he really was there. It seems like people started to pull back from...
He wasn't in the first trailer. I know that because I watched that. Yeah, and I think part of it too is when the movie first, you know, when they're first trying to build up steam for the movie and build up, you know, people getting excited about it. You know, who else but, you know, to announce but like one of the most famous sci-fi actors out there right now, Matt Smith. You know, he's got a huge fan following because of Doctor Who. So I think that was maybe their way of trying to just get people interested, but I won't be surprised at all if his part is very tiny in the movie, you know, maybe just almost like a cameo type appearance, you know, where he kind of shows up shortly. No, ends up, you know, maybe he's one of the characters that ends up dying off early, or, you know, he's a scientist that is just in one scene or something. I don't know. But yeah, he definitely hasn't shown up in the trailers yet, and they don't seem to be talking about him much in the movie anymore. So...
Yeah. Anyways, that's a terrible aside there, but I just thought it was interesting with you mentioning Rory actually in a TV show and Matt Smith possibly maybe being there, but not entirely sure anymore.
Yeah, but I'm excited about this Legends of Tomorrow show, though. The trailer, I would recommend if anyone hasn't watched it yet, go on YouTube and look it up. The trailer actually looks really good. And the part that Rory shows up in, he's pretty cool. Like, he's not Rory. You know, he's a very confident, cool-looking dude, so... looking forward to seeing that.
Awesome. Shall we talk fashion?
Yes, Peter Capaldi. So apparently there's been some images of him, I guess you could say leaked. I don't think they've officially shown these images out there, but you know, as usual with Doctor Who, we have people on set that are snapping photos that aren't supposed to be there.
We have people on set.
We don't. Yeah. Our correspondents are out there, the ones that are taking these pictures. We'll take responsibility. No, but yeah, so these pictures have leaked, and some interesting outfits the Doctor's being seen in right now.
Yeah. Here, prior to Series 8, we were talking about the different jackets he was wearing, the different shirts that he had on, the sparkly black jumper / sweater that he was seen wearing.
His bedazzled sweater.
Yeah, and really trying to figure out what is his style. And there were the jokes about the magician, which was awesome to even hear him, the Doctor, bring up at one point during the episodes. But really trying to figure out who he was. And it seemed like that was going to be his style until these photos leaked. And yeah, they are leaked photos, but he is filming and this is what he's wearing. Should I describe it?
Yeah. Yeah. Go ahead and describe it.
So he has on these crazy plaidish looking pants. They honestly look like a pair of pajama pants that you would see someone rolling out to grab their morning paper in. So he has these plaid pants, and then he has his coat on, which is cool. But then he has a hoodie that's partially unzipped with a white t-shirt underneath it that doesn't look too clean. It looks kind of dingy. But then what really tops off the outfit is his hair. His hair is like froed out. Like, he's not even trying anymore. He stuck his finger in a light plug. He might be inventing a time machine out of a DeLorean for all we know. It's funny. I'm hoping that there's some type of story behind just how disheveled he looks. Like, maybe something terrible happens at the start of the season and he just doesn't give a rip anymore. Maybe that's the entire point of Series 9. Like, he's trying to find himself again. But what's hilarious is Doctor Who TV, the website, the one that has this post about his outfit, towards the bottom they just have this image of like predicting his final look, and he just looks like a total burnout, holding a cup of coffee, just like hair everywhere, unshaven, what have you. But it's really I'm interested to see what's happening here.
Yeah. So to kind of like maybe clarify some of your description there, he's definitely not wearing pajama pants. The pattern looks very pajama pantsy, but it is kind of a plaid dress pant that he's wearing. And it does look like there's a couple different shots of him, and it looks like there's two different styles of that same, you know, kind of plaid, but one is more black and white. The other one has some red in it. And then he definitely is rocking the hoodie underneath the jacket, but he did that in the Christmas special too.
Right.
It wasn't as noticeable in the Christmas special because he was wearing a black shirt underneath the black hoodie, so it kind of all kind of blended in. But now he's got a white shirt, so it definitely, you know, it definitely brings it out more. But yeah, he's looking interesting. His hair is very unkempt. And it is a little disappointing because one of the things I liked about this Doctor when he first came on scene was how sharply he was dressed. You know, he just had this real clean, you know, look to him with the dress pants and the jacket with the red lining. And, you know, like you said, he kind of looked like a magician, but it was very clean and very stylish. And yeah, it does seem like as time is going on, he's getting a little bit more relaxed, he's definitely not controlling that hair as well, you know, not putting on the nice shirt, you know, he's just rocking a hoodie. So yeah, I don't know if this is maybe just a sign of the Doctor loosening up. You know, he kind of starts out a little, you know, uptight and kind of a jerk. So maybe this is just their way of visualizing that he's a little bit more fun loving and laid back in this season.
Yeah, he had that appearance of Series 9 of being like this rebel, but like the cool rebel. And now it's like he's kind of become that other type of rebel, the one who just doesn't care.
The pot smoking rebel.
Yeah, exactly. Pretty much. That's what you expect. But maybe, I don't know, maybe they're just taking him the madman with a box now. Maybe he legitimately is going crazy. Maybe the dream crabs messed with his head.
Yeah, and these kind of shots can always be misleading too. You know, it could be, you know, they're taken from one episode where there's a perfectly good explanation as to why he's dressed like that, you know, and maybe the rest of the season he just looks how we would expect him to look. So
they're gonna adjust his hair post production.
Yeah, right. So we had a lot of stuff going on. I don't think we even probably caught. There's probably other things that we didn't even catch. You know,
there's a lot of stuff
news wise that happened while we were away. But I think we hit most of it there. I think. So what do you say we jump into our classic Doctor episode discussion?
Let's do this.
All right. So for those of you listeners who maybe aren't aware of kind of what we do in the off season when there's no new Doctor Who, we go back, we watch some classic Doctor Who, you know, usually one storyline at a time, and then we jump on here and talk about it. So we go with the ones that are available on Hulu Plus. So the latest episodes that we have watched and we are about to talk about are the storyline The Gunfighters. And this is the 8th story from season 3 of Doctor Who. So that would be 1966. Writer Donald Cotton and director Rex Tucker. And I thought it was kind of funny because considering this storyline is set in the West, like the Wild West, I thought both of those names sounded kind of appropriate. Donald
Very
Cotton,
true.
Rex Tucker.
They had their names set for it.
Yeah. And my accent there was just a little bit better than all the British guys trying to do Southern accents.
Oh, that's so true.
That was the first thing. I was watching it last night with my wife, and the first thing that stuck out to both of us, because the episodes start out with these guys on horseback. I think there's like 3 of them, you know, kind of going into town. And they're all talking, and we're looking at each other like, are they trying to sound like they're American West? Like, it was kind of this weird amalgam of like a British accent, but also kind of a Southern accent, but also kind of a you know, Wild West kind of accent. Like, it was all just blended together and didn't sound like they were from anywhere.
Yeah, and Steven, I think more than anyone, just came off sounding like Gomer Pyle whenever he tried to throw out his Western accent. Shazam! Like, I wanted to hear him say that at some point.
Was that the bartender?
No, he was terrible. But Steven, the Doctor's companion.
Oh, Steven. Okay, yeah. The first guy that I heard that was the worst was the kind of the younger of the three brothers. I can't remember.
The
was
youngest
it Billy
of the Clanton?
Billy
yeah.
Clanton or Clam? Yeah, Clanton. I don't know, but they were all pretty bad across the board from pretty much the entire episode, with maybe a couple exceptions. Most of these British guys just were not nailing the American accent. Which is funny because like in modern TV now, it's always funny because like some of your favorite characters, you know, Rick Grimes from Walking Dead is he's British, right? Or is he Australian?
Oh, I have no idea. I don't get the UK and Australia confused, but their accent,
their accent.
I don't know where someone's from.
I think he's British, but when you hear him in the show, you would never know it. You know, he's right. Got this perfect Kentucky, you know, American accent, and then you hear him in interviews and he's like this really proper British accent. So the British actors have definitely perfected the American accent now, but apparently back in the 60s they had not done it yet, because these guys were horrible.
They didn't quite know what they were doing just yet with their tongues.
But so Gunfighters, this one was interesting. You know, I'm kind of the guy that always likes it when the Doctor goes back in time and like meets up with historical characters, you know, be it Robin Hood or, you know, Shakespeare. You know, those tend to be some of my favorite episodes.
Van Gogh.
Yeah. So when I saw that they were going to the Wild West, I did not know that this was actually like kind of the story of, you know, Tombstone and the OK Corral. I didn't pick up on that until, you know, as the episode started getting along and I recognized the character names. So that was kind of cool to see, you know, Wyatt Earp and Doc Holliday and, you know, those type of characters that I think most of us are familiar with, you know, kind of pop up in Doctor Who.
Yeah, and I'm a huge fan, or I was a huge fan growing up, of Westerns. Always loved Westerns. I had my books about the Westerns. I had my, like, story of the OK Corral, Tombstone, great movie. So I was interested to see where they were going to go with this, especially seeing Wyatt Earp roll in, Doc Holliday set up his dentistry. Really, really interested to see where they went with this. It was an interesting episode.
So you said
it's interesting 4 episodes.
You had mentioned the movie Tombstone. So is that a favorite of yours?
I have been known to enjoy watching Tombstone.
Okay, my brother, who has actually been on this show very briefly when we did interviews at RetroCon. My brother Joel, who I don't think listens, so he won't appreciate that I'm talking about this, but his favorite movie of all time is Tombstone. You know, he loves it, and he can quote pretty much every line from it. And he has forced me to watch it many times. So I'm familiar with the movie version of the story more so than the historical, you know, take on this story. But I think that did color a little bit on, you know, how I saw these characters, because you see Doc Holliday. And this version of Doc Holliday is definitely different than Val Kilmer's version of Doc Holliday.
Very true.
So it's when you're expecting, you know, you hear Doc Holliday and you're kind of imagining Val Kilmer in your head. And then you see this guy, it does throw you off a little bit.
Yeah, I totally agree. There was no comparison.
No.
None whatsoever.
Although I will say that out of the different actors that kind of nailed the accent, he did a better job than some of the others.
Yeah.
Although his voice was very annoying.
He had the presence, physical presence as well.
Physical presence as well, like...
He seemed like a bigger character.
Okay.
He was bigger than everybody else.
Doc Holliday?
I'm thinking about Wider.
Okay, I was going to say, Doc Holliday was kind of like a skinny little old dude.
Small Weasley man.
Yeah.
You were wondering what he was doing there.
Yeah, so... But yeah, just the whole idea that, you know, you're familiar with that story, so it was kind of cool to see the doctor implanted in that. You know, kind of the idea was that the doctor... He was on holiday, and so he was mistaken for Doc Holliday. You know, he goes to get his tooth pulled because he has a sore tooth, which you would think there would be something on the TARDIS that might be able to take care of that.
Right, exactly.
Instead of going to some, you know, backwater town and wherever they're at.
That was the one thing that that caught me off guard initially. Like, here's the doctor, and he's just needing to find a dentist. Like, he doesn't care. He just needs to find a dentist.
And then
you would really think he had something for that.
And the dentist is like, you know, I'm going to pull your tooth. And at first the doctor kind of resists, like, oh, no, you know, there's got to be something else we can do for me. But then he ends up letting him do it. And I'm thinking, man, wouldn't you think he'd just be able to wait for a little bit, you know, get back on the TARDIS and fly somewhere, you know, in the future so he can get that taken care of?
Yeah.
Instead of losing his tooth. But I don't know, maybe Time Lords regrow their teeth.
Capaldi's still missing that tooth now.
Yeah. So yeah, that was interesting. But I think even Steven, when they all kind of get off the TARDIS and the doctor's talking about a sore tooth, I think Steven even says something about, like, isn't there something on the TARDIS that can help you with the pain? But I guess he didn't have anything. But we get Steven and Dodo. I hate that name. They're still with us. So the last episode that we reviewed, although this isn't the next storyline that happens, I think we missed at least one or two storylines that either the episodes have been lost or they're not available on Hulu Plus. But still the same companions. How are you feeling about the companions that we have currently?
I was totally fine with Steven. Up until this episode, there was something about this episode where Steven was not my favorite character in this episode. But yeah, Dodo, take her or leave her. She's not the worst that we've ever seen, but she definitely isn't the best. I am still missing Vicky. I wish Vicky would have been in this episode. I think it would have been a lot more interesting. I think she would have been able to handle things a little bit better. But I think I'm getting ready to see the end of Dodo and Steven. I think I'm ready to see them move on.
Yeah, I don't know when they're supposed to, you know, I'm not super familiar with these two characters' storylines and when they're going to leave the TARDIS, but I'm still okay with Steven. You're right. This episode, he was different, at least from what we've seen from him before. Before, he almost seemed like kind of like the Ian replacement.
Yeah, like he was willing to take things he was willing to take the bull by the horn and run with it. He was willing to get things sorted if he had to.
This episode, he was much more like the comedy relief, you know?
Yeah.
And I know that the outfit they put on him didn't help, but yeah, he was just really kind of klutzy and nervous and almost a wimp. Yeah, different characterization, and I didn't like it.
Yeah, like the doctor's mistaken for Doc Holliday. They all end up at a bar because they're looking for rooms because they're going to end up leaving. And Steven is there, and the Clanton gang, who Doc Holliday killed their brother, they're looking for Doc Holliday. They think Steven and Dodo are with Doc Holliday, so they're going to hold him up. And that entire scene where they just have Steven at gunpoint just singing over and over and over, that really ruined Steven for me. It's like, come on, do something. Like, you shouldn't just be forced to stand there like a little choir boy and just sing constantly.
Yeah. And what, I mean, it was pretty convenient that both Dodo and Steven knew how to play the piano.
Oh, yeah. Dodo tickled those ivories, and Steven sang like a songbird.
Yeah. Dodo, I know you said she's not the worst, but man, she's getting close to Susan for me. She was pointless in this episode. Really pointless. Like, she really didn't do much. She hung out in Doc Holliday's room for a lot of the episodes, you know, kind of just sitting on the bed, you know. She was captured, I guess, but didn't really have much to do and was kind of a pointless character.
Yeah, she really was pointless. She could have been dropped from this entire episode and you wouldn't have known. But I still have this feeling that if you would put her and Susan in the same episode together, we would probably push Susan off the cliff first. I think Dodo would be allowed to live just a little bit longer.
They're right in line with me, man. They're like even right now. I mean, maybe it's just Susan. She's been gone long enough that maybe some nostalgia is starting to
come in. Of her.
I'm like, oh, you know what? Maybe she wasn't so bad because Dodo is horrible. And the name, really. Susan is a respecting, you know, name. Like, Dodo is a horrible, horrible name.
I have a feeling we won't have Dodo with us much longer.
I hope not. I mean, I've never heard of her before, you know, through hearing people talk about Doctor Who companions. I think now I know why I had never heard of her before, because I think a lot of fans are trying to forget about this character.
Yeah, I understand that sentiment.
Yeah. So the storyline is, you know, if you're familiar with kind of the Tombstone story, or the OK Corral story, it went along with what you would typically expect. I think they deviated a little bit from what we've seen in, you know, other versions of it, or even the historical take on it. But for the most part, it's kind of the Wyatt or the Earps and, you know, Doc Holliday kind of versus this, you know, this group of bandits or outlaws, mostly consisting of the Clantons?
The Clantons.
The Clanton family. And then you have Johnny Ringo as well. That he was kind of a popular character in the Tombstone movie. So, yeah. It kind of followed that story with, you know, obvious Doctor Who elements thrown in.
Yeah, they think the Doctor is Doc Holliday, and so the Clantons are always trying to get Doc Holliday, or the Doctor, who they think is Doctor... Whoa.
Doctor Holliday.
Too many doctors.
Yeah.
Yeah, they think the Doctor is Doc Holliday, so they keep on trying to capture the Doctor... and then Steven becomes fodder for that. They take him hostage for a little bit to try to flush out the Doctor. And Wyatt Earp steps in and tries to help the Doctor out because he knows he's not really Doc Holliday, but he's trying to protect Doc Holliday and give Doc Holliday time to get out of town. And Dodo gets wrapped up with Johnny Ringo and finds herself traveling with him for a little bit. And it was four very, very long episodes. It was a funner story to follow along with. It was interesting to see what they did. Like you said, it's a historical story, so it's fun to see what Doctor Who does with that. But you know what killed me throughout the entire episode?
What?
Every time there was the wonderful intro music.
Oh my gosh.
There was that random singer that would pop up and essentially narrate the story through random parts of a song. It was kind of neat at first, maybe the first two times it happened, but it honestly felt like every 5 minutes she was singing again.
Yeah, every time there was a transition from one scene to the next, you have this woman that would sing, and I don't know if it was supposed to be the voice of the character Kate who was in the episode, but yeah, just, you're right, she just narrated the story by singing between each scene. And it was very repetitive too, like the lines. A lot of the times the song would be the same or whatever. Yeah, it was grating to hear that every time. And I don't know, that's kind of an interesting, because you've never seen anything like that in Doctor Who before.
Right.
Kind of like, it reminded me of when Ian and Barbara kind of did their whole little like tour of London.
Yeah.
And you got like, you know, just this weird, you know, thing where all these scenes of them taking pictures, and it was this out of Doctor Who experience like just something that you've never seen in Doctor Who before, so it just didn't fit. And that's kind of how this was. It just didn't fit. Like, they've never done anything like this before, and it was an interesting, you know, kind of decision on the production team's part to add this in. I guess maybe they were trying to make it seem like an old Western, and maybe at the time old Westerns had that type of, you know, element, and so they were trying to emulate it, but it was bad.
Yeah, and it in a way, it really interrupted the story for me. Like, it seems like any time where at that moment I might have been able to engage with the story even more, all of a sudden I would hear that voice and it'd remind me that, oh yeah, this is not as cool as I was thinking it should be.
But if you didn't have the woman singing, how would you have known why the bartender was shot? You know, she had to remind us three times.
She had to remind us that poor Charlie, he said the name out loud.
Yes, he said the name out loud. And yeah.
Now Charlie the barman has got him a shroud.
That's
and now his face is covered in a shroud.
That's just foreshadowing to like the name that's been hidden in darkness.
Okay.
It's Doctor Who. It's just foreshadowing to that.
Oh, there was a nice you kind of made me remember a kind of a funny line. Where he was asking, the sheriff of the town was talking to the doctor and his companions, and he was asking their names, and the doctor made up funny names for the two companions, but then he said his own name was Doctor, and then he said some just unrecognizable name, and the guy says, Doctor Who? And then the doctor says, exactly.
Yeah, I love
it. I thought it was perfect. I loved it. That was great. So, these shows, I know we kind of rip on kind of how old they are, and cheesy and the bad acting and stuff, but there is definitely some quality writing involved from time to time where they'll surprise me with little jokes like that they kind of slip in and you're like, okay, that was legit.
Yeah, totally. And I think that's the thing that's so hard, because there's so many moments like that where it's like, oh wow, I'm really enjoying this. Like the entire Viking episode, I go back to that one in my mind, and there were some key moments where it elicited a chuckle. There was the awesome character of the monk. The Vikings were even good. The setting was awesome. It was just an all-around great episode. And there's such highlights like that, that when you get to an episode that dips a little bit lower here and there, I find it so much harder to just be forgiving of that. This episode really was a good episode. It had its really cool moments. It had its solid tension between the Clantons and the Earps, and Johnny Ringo showing up, and then Doc Holliday sneaking up, and had those key moments. But there were just moments like the lady singing that just like killed it for me.
Yeah. So we have the character Kate, who is a main character throughout these episodes. What did you think about the character of Kate overall? Like the actress that played her, was she entertaining to you, or you know, annoying? Like, what did you think about her?
I think the pendulum swung both ways on that one. Like there were times where I appreciated. So there's the scene in the bar where she comes in with the doctor, and she's supposed to be Doc Holliday's girl. And so she knows what she's doing, but she plays it up with the doctor. I really like that scene where they're both holding a gun to the Clantons trying to get Steven out of it. So there were moments like that, but then there were other moments where it was just like, meh, she doesn't need to be here.
They were definitely going for that lounge singer type personality for her, you know, kind of doesn't take any crap, you know, but loves her man, you know, kind of thing. You know, I enjoyed her as a character. She had more interesting things about her than most of the characters that were in the show. And I wouldn't say she was a great actress, but, you know, it kept the show moving along. And kind of the same with Doc Holliday. He was an interesting character, some annoying elements about him, but, you know, he kept the story moving along and was kind of entertaining to watch.
I could see that. It definitely had... I kind of feel that with all the characters. Like, all the characters had their high points and their low points. But overall, they did a solid job. I believed the Claytons really wanted to kill Doc Holliday and the Earps, and I believe the Earps were really, really bummed out when their brother got killed.
It got kind of violent. I mean, not like violence like blood and gore, but just like, you know, the characters that were dying, like the poor bartender, you know.
Right.
You would think, like, you know, you could kind of see maybe them coming at this story. You know, obviously in the story, you know, the historical version of it, a lot of people died. But you could see maybe the Doctor Who version of it being a little bit more lighthearted. So maybe the bartender gets shot or injured, but he gets shot dead, you know. And then the Earp's brother, you know, their young brother comes in to kind of watch the prison. Poor innocent guy. He gets shot dead. And Johnny Ringo gets shot dead. You know, it's not, and there's no doubt about the fact that these characters were dead. So that was a little bit surprising to me that they got that dark in the show.
Yeah, the killing of Charlie the bartender definitely took me by surprise, because you kind of are left to feel bad for the character. I don't know, maybe it's just the way that the actor played him. Like, you kind of feel bad for him. Like,
seemed like he's an innocent bystander, you know. He's there, he's just trying to run his business. His singer is, you know, walking out on him, and you know, he's just this guy kind of down on his luck bartender that's just an innocent bystander that ends up, you know, being in the wrong place at the wrong time, I guess.
It's not his fault he knew Johnny Ringo's name.
Yeah.
I mean, what does Ringo expect? I mean, when you go around shooting people, someone's going to know your name.
Johnny Ringo was maybe the most believable when it came to just that cowboy character. You know, the actor that played him, I thought maybe did the best job.
Yeah, he didn't talk all that much, which probably helped.
He was intimidating, though. There was definitely an intimidating element about him, more so than the other members of the gang.
As he's walking up the stairs and he tells Charlie, "Yeah, you're right, you won't tell anybody." Guns Charlie down.
Then does he say something like, "Good night, Charlie," or something like that?
Yeah, he does.
Cold-blooded.
Yeah. Man.
But, yeah, I mean, overall, I will say I enjoyed these episodes. There was four episodes. I did enjoy them. There were, you know, the song thing between each, you know, thing that sucked. I hated that. There were a couple other things that kind of grated on me, but overall, as a Doctor Who, you know, storyline, I did find this one pretty entertaining. And Steven, I do still like Steven, so I hope he sticks around for a little bit. Dodo, I'm ready for her to go.
So I have to bring this up just because there was some conversation on Facebook about this from Jason has commented on it. And then another individual on the Facebook page, Jeff Waddle. They both were excited about us to review the episode of The Gunfighter. Jason said the arc is definitely one of the ho-hum classic stories. So the last episode reviewed, we reviewed with the Monomates. Sorry, I just remembered it. But The Gunfighters, on the other hand, is one that I'm really excited for y'all to get to. And then Jeff comments, "Nobody seems to like The Gunfighters, but I bloom and love it." So out of curiosity, do you think, where would you put it on the scale of some of the past ones that we reviewed? Do you bloom and love The Gunfighters, or out of the episodes, do you think this is down there with the arc?
Do I bloom and love it? I would say it's definitely one of the more memorable episode arcs, maybe just because of the setting. So for that reason, I think it will stick out to me as time goes on. This will probably be one that I'll always think back on and remember, because some of the ones where they go to these alien planets tend to kind of blur together.
Yeah.
You know, because it seems like they're kind of coming up against the same problems with, you know, just a different alien species. So this one was more unique, and I did like that about it. I like that they go back in time and, you know, meet actual historical characters. So overall, I did actually really like it. I wouldn't say I bloomed and loved it, but I did actually enjoy watching these. What was it that Jason liked about it? Did he say, or he just said he liked it?
No, he just said that he was really excited to get to it.
And it's funny because you kind of say that, you know, he was saying that a lot of people don't like this. And actually, I think, what was I looking at here? In the facts about it on the wiki, it says that it's like the lowest rated of all time for Doctor Who. Something like that.
That's crazy.
So yeah, I guess there's a lot of people out there that don't really hold us these in high regard.
Huh. Oh, it got the lowest ever audience appreciation score.
Ah, okay, there you go.
There were a number of stories with lower viewing figures, including The Savages, The War Machines, and The Smugglers, plus every story after 1986 hiatus. Anyways, yeah, if I were to think back on the episodes from the classic series that we've watched thus far, and I were to say, like, these are the episodes that stick out to me the most that would be enjoyable, I think it would be The Time Meddler, so the episodes with the Vikings, probably the Aztec storyline, and then I think if I had to choose a third, it would probably be the Gunfighters. I think just because it is a different approach to it, I don't think I could go as far as to say that I loved this episode. It was unique. It had some enjoyable parts, but kind of like what you said, there were elements of it, mainly the singing, that just threw me off. It kind of plucked me out of the storyline at those points, but it was still a really enjoyable one. It would be up there on my list.
Well, is there anything that we missed, Adam, that you wanted to discuss from the Gunfighters?
Well, not really. I think we've covered every little bits and pieces of it. They liked their drink.
Yes, they did. Oh yeah, that was something that was interesting that was pointed out, was the doctor and his aversion to alcohol. You know, he said a couple times, "I never touched the stuff."
Yeah.
And I don't know, I can't remember if I've ever, I'm trying to think if we've ever seen any version of the doctor drink alcohol. If I had to guess if any of them would, I would say the 11th. but he seems a little drunk at all times.
I don't know. There might be coming a point here real soon where Capaldi starts.
Yes, I could see. I could definitely see that. Have we seen Capaldi take a drink?
I'm trying to think back. I think maybe the closest that we ever have seen him would either be the very first episode.
He pours a drink, right?
He pours a drink, or maybe Orient Express.
Okay.
Huh. When he hands out when he pulls out his cigar or cigarette tin filled with jelly beans or Jamie Dodgers?
Jelly babies or jelly?
Jelly. Yeah.
I don't know.
Anyways, I think he might have had something on the table then too, but I could be totally off base.
Yeah, that had stuck out to me, and I was kind of trying to think back. I'm like, have we ever seen the doctor drink alcohol? I feel like he probably has at some point, and maybe somebody that's listening can point it out to us on Facebook or something. But
we'll get to it.
Yeah, but yeah, I thought that was an interesting information about the doctor that I didn't realize. He was also very averse to holding a gun, which does stick pretty close to what we know about the doctor, although he's made a few exceptions. But we do know he doesn't like weapons. All right, well, I think we're good to wrap this one up, Adam.
Sounds good to me.
Okay, well, it was good getting back together with you talking some Doctor Who. We will definitely be catching the next storyline for the classic series in the near future, so we can get another episode out. And we won't take quite as long to get that episode out as we took to get this one out.
Hopefully. Yeah, it was good to shake off some rust with this episode.
Yeah, it was a nice little break. I was at an event for you know, my other podcast, and you know, we both had some things going on in the month of April that prevented us from recording an episode. But we will definitely be getting another one out here in a couple weeks probably. And, you know, we'll talk about some more Classic Who and whatever news we can get about the upcoming season and just keep on going. Maybe we'll get a guest on, too. I know we've been talking about trying to get a couple guests on the show as well to spice things up. So we'll be looking out for somebody to come on and help us out.
Awesome.
All right. Well, as usual, you can leave us a review on iTunes. If you enjoy our show, we would love for you to head on over to iTunes, leave us a nice 5-star review. You can follow us on Twitter at Bad Wolf Podcast, Facebook Bad Wolf Radio. We are on Facebook. The email that we got, she was saying she wasn't sure if we were on Facebook. We are on Facebook. You can find us Bad Wolf Radio. Just search for it, and we are the one with the black and white logo. And if you want to send us an email, like the ones that you heard us read today on the episode, you can do that at badwolfpodcast@gmail.com. And until next time.
Later days!
days, y'all.
Better days, y'all.
Do it in your best Western accent.
Holler back later day. No.
Holler back.
That's... Holler back.
No, you gotta try to do your best British sounding Western accent.
Hey, it's putting me close to the light of